Thank you, Lord. Okay, turn with me to John chapter 2, please, while I get us started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the good news that we had. I thank you for the good news that you continue to bring forth for us. I thank you, Lord God, that the beauty of what we see taking place in our nation is infiltrated, even the darkest part of our society, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that you are penetrating the hearts of those that have fed us with propaganda for so long. You're penetrating their hearts, Lord God. And they're beginning to see the light. I thank you, Father, for the victory. Thank you, Lord. Father, as we press into your word tonight, I pray that you would ignite our hearts. I pray that you would settle things around us. I pray that you would give us the grace for the message that you have for us, and that you would speak deeply into our hearts to prepare us for the days ahead. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. In your precious name, amen. I'm so excited about what God is doing in our nation. I'm so excited about the fact that you come together to pray with us. And for those that are in Joel's Army and receive our prayer points, you get these prayer points and you take to them wholeheartedly and you pray, because we see the fruit of those intercessions. And it's such a profoundly touching moment when we hear reports like what we heard tonight. John chapter 2. Let me start with, last week I gave a message to our staff on the priesthood, preparing for priesthood. And it's on our website in our intercessor, our prophetic and intercessor training ground. You can find that by going to worldforjesus.org. On the right-hand side of the page, it says new prophetic and intercessors training ground. And you'll see it there. It's preparing for priesthood. And I really recommend, this was a private lesson, and we do put those up on the website for you guys, but it was a private lesson with the staff. And in that message, the Lord began to speak to me. And over the course of this last week, he expounded on that message that he gave. So I encourage you to go and listen to that message. Because right now we are in the season, and I have shared this with you before, that we are transitioning into the kingdom age. And what does that mean for us? What it means for us is we're preparing for priesthood. When we read through the Gospels, as we read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and as you read into the New Testament, you hear the kingdom of God is a major theme throughout the New Testament, because he is releasing the kingdom of God in the earth. The power and the authority of the kingdom of God is being released in the earth. And so where we are now in history is that release and that thrusting of us forward into the call that God has on the body of Christ. As we moved into 2019, the Lord told me he was going to bring judgment to the house of God, and he was going to be redefining the church. And when I say redefining the church, what that means is when people think of the church, it depends upon who you are as to what your thoughts are on that. It depends upon your upbringing. It depends upon the background of your faith. It depends upon if you've been in the world all your life. It depends upon if you've been in a church where sin has been rampant through the church. It can leave a very, very poor taste in your mouth. For some, it leaves them broken. Those that have been truly violated in the church, it leaves them broken. But we're moving into the kingdom age. And that is with the mindset of eternity. That's with the mindset of the kingdom of God being released here in the earth. The kingdom of God being released here in the earth. The power, the authority of the kingdom of God being released in the earth. So that when people look at those who represent the kingdom of God, there is no doubt, no question who they serve. Because God is about to shed off these doctrines that are out there. God is about to shed off these different denominations. He's about to shed all of that off of those who are called the children of God, those who belong to the kingdom of God. As he does this, we will stand out from the rest, stand out from the crowd. Last year, I talked about Tommy Hicks' vision and the release that's coming, and I believe we are going to see that release in our lifetime. If you have not read that vision, I encourage you to find it. It was a 1966 vision, I believe it was, July of 1966. If you Google it, you'll be able to find it. It's a powerful vision that he had about a move of God that will transform the earth. Before all of this can happen, God has to clean up his body. What does that mean? Like I said, he's preparing us for priesthood. Last week I shared, and you'll hear it if you go back and listen to that teaching, a vision that I had. And I had a vision of it was a body, but Christ was the head. And the body was liquid gold, very fluid. But within the body were the members of the kingdom of God. They were different ministries, but they were all believers. And as they were needed for a work to be done, they would be brought to the area of the body in which they were needed. They would be released, and when their work was done, they would be brought back in, absorbed back into this liquid gold. So if it was, the hand of Christ needing to be reaching into an area, those who were equipped for that would be brought to the surface and used and then brought back into the body. But Christ was the head. Everything was ordained, orchestrated by Christ. And it was such a fluid thing. There wasn't jealousy. There wasn't animosity. There wasn't this denomination or that denomination. The purpose of this body was to release the kingdom of heaven in the earth. That was its sole purpose. And isn't that what Christ came to do? Release the kingdom of heaven into the earth. Matthew refers to the kingdom of God as the kingdom of heaven because his gospel was geared toward the Jews and to have the kingdom of God written out. I think it's 33 times. It would have been offensive for them. So he used kingdom of heaven, but that term is interchangeable. That was the purpose of this body, to release the kingdom of heaven in the earth. Can you imagine a group of people whose sole purpose is to release the kingdom of heaven into an area, into the earth? Their sole purpose for living, for existing, is to further the kingdom of heaven. Can you imagine what that would look like? Can you imagine the power and the impact of that type of ministry? That's what God has called us to. All the denominations that we see today, all of the the corruption that denominations, I believe, have led the way to pretty extreme corruption. He's calling forth a body whose sole focus will be to release the kingdom of heaven into the earth. Imagine if we had 5 years here on earth. Imagine if we only had 5 years left. What would you do differently? How would you live your life beginning today if we only had 5 years left? What would your focus be? Would it be prayer and the Word? Would it be your career? Would it be making sure your family was ready? What would it be? God is preparing and training up, even now, the priesthood and the refining that we've all been going through over the last couple of years. And I know last year was a doozy for many people, many people. But the refining serves a purpose. It's to make our vessels usable by God. When we have sin and corruption in our lives, we cannot be used by God to the degree that not only we would like to be used, but to the degree that He needs to use us. We often think about that. Well, I just want to be used by God. But do we consider Him looking at us and our lives and saying, I just want to use you to the fullest ability that I created you to be used for? I want to be able to use you on a platform that would impact the lives of as many people as possible without the worry that you will get in the way. I want to use you in such a way, because of the testimony that your life is, I can impact the lives of countless people. But because you have not submitted yourself to me and laid down your life to me fully, there's too much stuff in you for me to be able to do that. Because the minute your platform gets too big, you are going to get in your own way. You're going to get in my way. You still have too much stuff inside of you that is from the world. And I can't use you the way I created you to be used. Consider that. Consider having a conversation with the Lord to the point, you know, we lay on our face, we're intercessors. We lay on our face and we weep before God. We pour everything we have out into that floor, right? Because that's what we do. But have we sat down and had a conversation with our Lord that says, what is standing in the way of you using me the way you created me to be used in the kingdom of heaven? When's the last time we had that conversation with the Lord? A real heart-to-heart conversation with Him. You see, because He created us to be priests. That's what He created us for, to be His priesthood. Where we would be used, our lives would be lived to further the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is the high priest, and we are part of the priesthood. But there are things that stand in the way of Him being able to use us to the fullest of what He created us for. You know, there's people out there that have beautiful voices. They have beautiful voices. And they can be used to worship the Lord in such a powerful way because they usher us into the heavenlies, right? They usher us into the throne room of God. But when someone who has a beautiful voice knows they have a beautiful voice, and they've allowed the enemy to come in and remind them day in and day out that they have a beautiful voice, and the enemy gets a foothold and pride sets in, what interferes with them being used to take us into the throne room is their pride. There was a time at one of our gatherings We were cycling through three worship teams. We were having three services a day. Now, those of you that have come to our gatherings and were there for 2 4 to 4.5 hour services, you think you throw another service in there? My goodness, that must have been exhausting. And I'm here to tell you it was exhausting. But we did it. And so leading worship is very straining, and anybody who's in worship knows the strain it is on the vocal cords. And so we had three worship teams, and there was this one particular service. It was early in the week where we had at least two of them up on stage, and the worship was like, it was amazing. It was amazing. It was so incredible. And we were in it, you know. We were just in it. We were just, yes, Lord, and we just felt like we could step right into the throne room of God. And here we are in the midst of where we thought we could step into the throne room of God. And Mom, Nita, gets up on the stage, and she stops the worship. And everybody froze. Like, what's going on, you know? And she shares with us that the Lord told her that we were worshiping the worship. Worshiping the worship. So we were interfering with our step into God. That doesn't mean that the people on the worship team were up there trying to glorify themselves or anything like that. But we were worshiping the worship. Look how good our worship team is. Look how amazing this worship team is. This is the best worship team we've ever had. This is incredible. And the worship, instead of being for God, became about the worship that we were in. And so she had 400 people in the building. Everybody go outside and get their hearts right before God. We were there to worship God and God alone. He was the only one that deserves our praise. He is the only one that deserves the praise and the glory and the honor of His creation. He is the only one. We have been created to worship God and worship Him alone. Worship God only. And we were out in the, we were outside, we were in the foyer. And she had one of the worship leaders alone on stage who would lead worship with a guitar, and that was it. Really precious man of God, very humble, very precious man of God. And the whole thing really broke him, and I think that's why the Lord had her use him when we came back in. So slowly, the people came back in, and as he led us in worship, our hearts began to break. Because as we laid this misappropriated worship down at his feet, this repentance swept through the room, and it broke our hearts. Because we realized we had given a level of honor to the wrong thing. Nobody was worshiping the people on stage. It wasn't like that. But it was impure. Within minutes, everybody was on the ground, weeping. And the Spirit of God came in. Because the hindrance of the misappropriated focus was gone. And all that we had, all that we were, was focused on the Lord God Almighty. I can promise you no one made the same mistake. And that's how Shia was with us at the time, and Pastor Shia. And they brought in a sign within, they might have even gotten it there by the next service, but they went and had it printed, worship God only. Now we have the PowerPoints and we're able to put up worship God only. But that's right there where it originated, from that time in St. Louis. You see, there was something in us that opened the door for that to take place. We're called to be high priests. Jesus is our high priest. We're to be high priests for the kingdom of God. We are called to be priests. And any interference, anything within us that stands in the way for a continuous flow of the move of God will short circuit that. It brings friction in the body of Christ. It inhibits the flow of the Spirit, and it misdirects what God intends. John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Now, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And I've shared about this. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they'll say, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And I've done a message on this, but when I was preparing for this week, the Lord said, we need to go back to that because we need to deal with the sheep and the oxen, the money changers, the tables and chairs that were in the temple. Because what? We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? That's what we are. We are the priests of the kingdom of God, are we not? And so when we have things that are within our temple that are not of God, it hinders the flow of the Spirit of God. They had sheep and they had oxen. The high priest or the chief priest had given them permission to bring these animals into the outer court. And people would come from afar, especially for the feast, and they would come from afar. And of course, they're not going to cart a sheep that they've kept with them and deemed pure, deemed without blemish in order to sacrifice on the altar that weekend or weekday, whichever it happens to be. They're not going to cart it with them however long they and their family journeyed to get there to celebrate the Passover. So that here they are, and they said, listen, for a fee, we will guarantee these animals are without blemish. So they opened the doors to the buying and the selling of animals as a service for the people that traveled far. There were money changers in there. And the money changers were there to exchange money that they would provide, give as an offering when they came to worship at the temple. Because they couldn't give an offering that had any idolatrous images on it. So they couldn't give those type of offerings. So that they would come in from their coins from another nation, and they would exchange it here. These people would have the money that could be given in the temple. They had tables set up. They had chairs set up. And the families would come in and make this exchange. People would come and they would carry the vessels of water and they would be carting it through this part of the temple. Where is the purity and the holiness? This was a place of prayer. This is where the Jews would come from far and wide. This is where the Jews would come from within the city and they would pray. When Peter and John went to Solomon's court to pray, here is where they were to go and pray. They would go and pray in the temple. Now the temple, the outer court, is cluttered with animals. It's cluttered with money changers. It's cluttered with tables. People are walking through with vessels of water for the cleansing. Where is the holiness? It's like going to sit at church and having an ATM at the back of the church. Oh, you don't take debit cards? Let me go on back to the ATM there, and I'll put it in, put my code in, and I'll bring you some money to put in the offering. I brought an offering of some clothes for the poor. I heard that you were going to be collecting cans and clothes for the ministry outreach this weekend. It's in my car. I know you're preaching right now, Pastor, but I don't want to forget. And you go to your car, you collect your things, and you cart it in, and you put it on the stage in the middle of the service. The focus isn't even about the service. It's about what you can get done while you're sitting there. People say, why don't you allow phones? And why do you require people to bring their Bibles to the GOEs? Well, part of it is a security thing, but I want you to think about this for a minute. When's the last time you were sitting in church and someone got on their phone and started texting people, checking their Facebook, sending out tweets, checking out what the prophets have to say on their Twitter pages, looking for a movie time. Well, it's a Christian movie, but looking for a movie time while the pastor is speaking. I would venture to say, just last Sunday, if you really think honestly about that, people have forgotten that the house of God has been created to bring forth the word of God and open up a time where people can come and pray to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They've forgotten it's supposed to be holy ground in the house of God. And they have allowed the distractions and the cares of the world to keep them from retaining and honoring the holiness of that environment. I was in church one time, and the people were so focused on their phones that it was distracting the people around them. And my heart began to grieve. They were showing one another things on their phones. And my heart began to grieve, really grieve. And I thought about that for a moment, and I thought, what if the people behind them weren't saved? And the message the pastor is giving this morning is a message that will grip their hearts in such a powerful way that when he gives that altar call, they aren't even going to wait for him to ask people to close their eyes and think about where they'll be tomorrow if they were to die tonight, because their hearts are going to be rent by the message he's delivering. And this is the day that they're going to give their life to the Lord. It's ordained. It's written. And here's this family sitting in front of them, so focused on their phone, showing each other and giggling over their pictures, that that individual behind them doesn't get the intensity of that message, doesn't get the impact that the piercing arrow of that message that was meant for their heart doesn't make it, because it's got to get around the garbage taking place in front of that person. And they don't go to the front and accept the Lord. It broke my heart. That doesn't even take into account the many times a phone rings in the middle of the service, the text messages that are popping up. These are distractions in the house of God. People think, well, we don't have animals running around the church. Well, we kind of do. We got people that can't sit still for 45 minutes while the pastor delivers a message on the future of the souls in that congregation. We got people checking their Facebook pages instead of focusing on the scriptures that are being read right now. We do have animals sitting in there. I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend anyone, but we do have animals sitting there, running around and distracting us. We do have money changers who were there. We do have distractions and people carrying vessels through the holy place of God. And that's just in church. What's happening within each of us? God wants to use us He's created us vessels to be used by him. And like I said a few minutes ago, when's the last time we had a heart-to-heart talk with him to find out, are we actually being used to the fullness of why he created us? Are we? Are we allowing him to use us to the fullest? If he isn't, why isn't he using us to the fullest of why we were created? What's going on inside of us? Are there animals running around inside of us? Distractions? Are our thoughts drifting when they should be focused on the Lord? Do we have tables and chairs set up for others when we need to have a clean temple so the Spirit of God can flow through us? We cry out and we pray, Lord, use us, use us, use us. We cry out for the seven spirits of God. But none of that can happen when we've got tables and chairs set up within us, within our temple. Because when the Spirit tries to move, he's going to hit one of those chairs. He's going to hit one of those tables. And the flow isn't going to be to the purity that it was created, that we were created for him to flow through. Years ago, I came in and I was, I volunteered in the ministry at first, and then I came on staff. I say came on staff like there were a bunch of us, right? It was me and Mom. I came on staff. She said, honey, you going to come out and minister with me? I'm like, oh, you know, I'll just take care of the admin stuff. I'll run things for you. I travel with her periodically, and people would, your mom is so amazing. I just love to listen to her teach. She just loves the Lord so much. And I'd say, and I'd smile and shake my head, and they'd say, so, you know, what do you do? I think, well, you know, I do the bookkeeping, and I book her airline tickets, and, you know, I do the admin stuff. Well, exactly what does that mean in a ministry? And, you know, I would feel smaller and smaller. It's funny now to even talk about it, but I would feel smaller and smaller as they would share that. But I really don't believe they were trying to make me feel smaller. I think what was taking place is the Lord is saying, that's not what I created you for. I created you to preach my word. I created you to call people into the deeper places with me. How can you do that when you're working all day in the admin stuff? And it wasn't until he really got a hold of me and began speaking to my heart, this is not what I created you for. This is not your heritage. You see, my grandmother and my great-grandmother rejected their calls, and they died very unhappy, angry women. My mom has talked about my grandmother. Very gifted. She could play like seven instruments. Very prophetic. But she refused the call. My grandmother, same situation. They refused the call. My mom answered the call, and I was rejecting the call. So when they were saying, so what is it you do? And I was feeling pretty small. The Spirit of God is saying, you were created to usher people in to the deeper places in me. That's why you were created. That's why you felt small. And I'm not saying anybody that does admin stuff is small, because that's important. It's what allows us to function. People say, well, you know, it's just ministry, right? You just sit around and read the word and pray. It's a business, you know. We got to get things done. We got to pay bills. All of that is important. There's people that are very gifted in that. And that's what they do, and that's what we need them for. That's what they're called to, and that's the element of service that they bring that's powerful, that allows people like my mom to fulfill her call. You've got people gifted in worship. You don't want them booking your airline tickets. You want them preparing for worship, keeping their vessel clean and ready to be used by God to usher us into the throne room so that we can minister to God. When you are created to do something, what you do is crucial. Fulfilling that call is crucial, because that's when you're functioning within the body of Christ with Him as the head, doing what He created you to do. No task is too big or too small. It's all critical to release the kingdom of God in the earth. If we had 5 years left, are we going to worry about changing money? Are we going to worry about our retirement? If we have 5 years left and you've been called to be a minister of the word, if you've been called to be an intercessor, if you've been called to be a prophet, if you've been called to teach Sunday school to the children, if you've been called to work in the nursery, and then you're not fulfilling that, at the end of that 5 years, when you meet the Lord, you are going to have some serious explaining to do. Because I can promise you, He is giving His children opportunity now to answer the call. That's what He's doing in this hour, to release the kingdom of God and transition us from the church age to the kingdom age, requires His children to step into their call. People say the harvest is coming. It will not come if we aren't ready. If the evangelists have not prepared themselves to be and to allow the Spirit of God to flow through them and get people saved, that harvest isn't coming through them. OJ is an excellent evangelist. Everywhere he goes, he leads people to the Lord. He leads the flight attendants. He leads the waiters. He leads the waitresses. He leads the people that work at the airport. He leads the taxi drivers. He leads them to the Lord. He is a powerful evangelist. It's incredible to me. I just stand there in awe. We went to lunch one time, and he's just, do you know Jesus? Would you like to know Him? It's just casual conversation, and I realized he's leading them to the Lord right now. It's beautiful. He's called to that. He raises up Joel's army and prepares people for prayer. But he's an evangelist. He's bringing the harvest in one-on-one. But God had to prepare him for that. He had to prepare him. John loves to pray. He just loves to pray. And he's a very good researcher. So he digs deep and he finds these reports to give us before we begin to pray on our corporate calls to encourage our faith. He's a man who knows the importance of our faith being ignited before we pray. And so he digs deep looking for the good news, looking for the praise reports on the issues we've prayed about. And you know what that does? It ignites our faith. It gets us excited. I listen to him, and I'm jumping up and down here. I'm so excited. I can't wait to minister and get people excited about prayer, get people ready to be the vessels they've been created to be, so that when they come before God and he says, are you doing everything I created you to do? They can say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Every member is crucial. But every member stepping into the fullness of what God created them for is just as important. It's just as important. My friends, we've got to get the tables out of our vessels. We've got to get those animals out of our vessels. We've got to get the tables. We've got to get the money changers. We've got to get everything out that is not of God so that we can be used by him. In the way he created us to be used by him. I keep saying that. You think, why does she keep saying the same thing? You know why? Because we think when we see someone's call, our call is supposed to be like theirs. We are all unique individuals created by God to fulfill a role. And if we try to step into someone else's shoes, we are going to be stomping around and stumbling about. And we will not fulfill our role in the kingdom of God. Remember the vision I had? Jesus, the head. In the body of Christ is liquid gold. He is the refiner, isn't he? He is the refiner's fire, purifying. And when that gold is the purest it can be, it is liquid gold. Liquid gold. How are your vessels, my friends? Are you ready for the priesthood? People get our book, Melchizedek Priesthood, because they want to be among those anointed. David's mighty men of valor, be among the Melchizedek priesthood. And so they study it and they read it because they want to know about the Melchizedek priesthood. And sometimes we get so busy getting the head knowledge, we forget if we aren't ready. If our vessels haven't been cleaned out, we can know everything there is to know about the Melchizedek priesthood. And we will not be a part of it because we have not spent the time allowing him to clean out our temple. I want to encourage you, take the time. You know, last week, go back and listen to that message, I said, everyone in this hour is going to be called to be an intercessor. It's just mandatory. Because if we're going to know the heart of God, we've got to be an intercessor. But we will also be preachers, prophets, evangelists, teachers. I want to encourage you, get along with God. Better yet, let him get along with you. Let him examine your heart. Let him reset things that need to be reset. Let him clear out everything that is not of him. Let him reorder your steps so that you're being used by him in the manner that he created you to be used in this hour. Every person that is on this line, every person that will listen to this later, they were created to be alive in this time in history. This time in history. During the transition from the church age to the kingdom age. Things are going to speed up, and they're going to speed up quickly. We've got to be ready. We've got to make sure our vessels are cleaned out. We don't have our own furniture and our own tables and chairs and stuff set up inside of there. Our own ideas of what sacrifices we need to be making. We need to have a cleaned out vessel that the Spirit of God can order and direct. Spend time with Him and give Him license to comb through your life and get things in order so that you can be used. So that you can be used to the fullest of what He created to use you for. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, that every person on this line has a purpose in this earth. They have a purpose in the kingdom of God. They have a purpose to release the Spirit of God in the earth. They have a purpose, Lord God, to release You wherever they go. It doesn't matter what their profession is. What matters is what their call is from You. Draw them in, Lord God, to the secret place. Draw them in, Lord God, and give them the grace to give You full reign in their lives. One of Your greatest heartaches for Your body, Lord, is when it doesn't flow like You've created it to flow. Because the impact is restricted. Help us, Lord God. Give us grace to become the body You've created us to be. To step into the unity of the body of Christ, not the false unity deception that's out there. But the unity of the body of Christ, ordered by Christ as the head. Give us the grace of God to step into that role. I thank You, Lord. I thank You, Lord. I can see He's speaking to people even now. He's touching their heart. He's touching your heart about your call. He wants to redirect you. There's those that have been spot on, and He wants to draw you into a deeper place in Him. And I see Him grabbing hold of the hearts and drawing them in. Give Him the opportunity. Allow Him to do that. If you feel that pulling on your heart, that's what He's doing. Don't put it off, my friends. The time really is short. I thank You, Lord, for Your people. I just thank You, Lord. If they're here, it's because they want the deeper things and the greater understanding of Your word and who You are, that they can apply it to their lives. I thank You for them, Lord God. Bless them, Lord.
in your precious and holy name. Amen. Thank you, John. Thank you.